Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, on Paul's second missionary journey, we're told the Spirit forbid Paul to speak the word in Asia. Those two things just don't seem to go together, that the Spirit of God would tell Paul not to speak the word of God. But for whatever reason, God had a different direction, a different plan that he wanted Paul to go in. And so we see here in Acts chapter 16 in verse 9 that a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing up and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." You know, this passage is interesting. We call it the Macedonian vision passage. It describes how God sometimes works in our life. Most of the time, we don't know what God is up to when he calls us to do something. You know, when you remember the story of Abraham, Abraham was called to go. My first question, if God called me to go, would be where? God didn't tell Abraham where. He just said go, and that he would make him a great nation. You know, trust, it requires a high level of trust. When God tells us to go, for us to just say, yes, I'm ready, and whatever you want, God, is what I want. And so that's all. You know, when we come to Christ for salvation, we come to Christ not knowing what God's plan for our life is. We come to Christ saying, yes, Lord, whatever you want, I'm yours. And that's the way a man comes to Christ. A man doesn't come to Christ saying, well, let me think about it. I'll give you this part of my life, but not that part of life. Because, you know, God doesn't deal with us that way. When we come and say, yes, Lord, we say yes to whatever God's plan for us. And we don't know what that plan is. But we see right here that it requires a level of trust. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith, if you want to get right down to an acrostic, is forsaking all, I trust him. So there's a level of trust in your life that you have to come to, that when you're going to obey God, Lord, whatever it is you want, I know it's better than my plan. And so we say yes. You know, sometimes coaches make calls that we as parents or fans or players, we may not agree with it. We say, why is he doing that? Well, you know, a wise coach sees the big picture. He has reasons that he asks his players to do what he asks them to do. Same thing with kids and parents. You know, sometimes as parents, our kids may think we're dumb as rocks. You're like, you're 1950s or you're 1960s. You don't understand how things are now. Any of you ever heard something like that? You don't understand how things are now. You know, but one thing we try to teach them is to trust us, to obey us. Because in life, they're going to have to learn to do that, to be able to be successful in other areas of life. There's benefits in being obedient. There's benefits in all areas of our life when we learn to be obedient to God. As we look at this Macedonian call passage in Paul's life, we see some keys that are applicable to our own lives when being used by God. Number one, obeying God requires action. Look at verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia standing appealing to come over here. Now look at the next verse. When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel. God called him, and immediately he obeyed. You know, God speaks to us in different ways. Sometimes in this passage we see God spoke to him through a dream or through a vision of the night. Sometimes God speaks to us through his word. Sometimes God speaks to us through a still small voice. Sometimes God speaks to us through other people. God's got a lot of ways of speaking to us. But when God speaks to us, the key is that we become doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding ourselves. That's what James says. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. If I hear the word but I don't act upon the word, does the word have any impact upon my life? You know, if the Bible tells me that it's good not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, if I know that going to church is a good thing, but I sit on my tail at the house all the time, is that doing me any good? You know, neither is it to know the Word of God, but not to act upon the Word of God. So we see here obeying God requires action. You know, a few years back, Martha was sharing in her testimony that when this started, it was a project that she had been led to undertake. She prayed about it. God said, this is what you're able to do. You know, she saw, you know, God led her to say, hey, this is how I can make a difference. You know, then we as a church saw that need as well, and we stepped in to help. That's where many of you came in, bringing the supplies, bringing the, you know, the up coming up here on Saturday, giving of your Saturday to be a part of what God was doing. You know, we could have said, you know, that's a great idea. Good luck, Martha. And you know what? Not near as many people have been blessed. But obeying God requires actions. You know, if God asks you to do something in your life, if God equips you to do something in your life, take action. You've been given a spiritual gift. Use that gift to bless others. Take action. Because obeying God requires it. Secondly, obeying God produces results. Look at verse 13 through 15. We see that a woman named Lydia, in verse 14, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. The Lord opened her heart. You know, if it wasn't worth it for anybody else that God gave Paul a different direction, it was worth it for this lady named Lydia because God opened her heart. You know, it also not only opened her heart, because what we see, the history of this tells us, and people doing studies on it tells us that for Lydia, it was quite likely that her house became the first of several house churches that Paul used in this community, spoke in this community. As a result, Paul's ministry grew there because of this one convert by the name of Lydia. So you see, God gave him a vision, went to this one lady named Lydia, and all of a sudden Lydia began to bless others, opened her home. Her home became a house church. You know, the ministry that we've been called to, as Martha shared, started with 100 people getting a haircut, and 40 of them got book bags. This year, 280 people were fed. 280 people were given book bags, were given shoes. The ministry is still growing. You know, I was at Walmart this last week. I was checking out. I didn't know who this lady was, but she said, "Hey, is your church the one that did the haircuts and the school supplies?" And I said, "Yeah, yes, it was." I didn't know who she was. She said, "I didn't know that anybody else, but I saw you there. Thank you. Tell your church thank you for what y'all did." One of the guys that works with Ron, a guy by the name of Israel, I was talking to him in here. He was helping out. He said, "You know, my family grew up really poor." He said, "I had 8 brothers and sisters. It was everything that my parents could do to get us enough to be able to go to school. And sometimes we may not have had enough. But," he said, "you know, it was difficult. Now that I'm in a position, with my job, that I can help, I feel like it's my duty to give back to others." That's it. He got it. "Now that I'm in a position that I can bless others, I should bless others." Let me tell you something. Every one of us, every one of you, including myself, sit here today, and we are nothing without Christ. Nothing. You were on your way to a burning hell without the cross. Only the sacrifice of God gives you hope in anything you do in life. You are nothing without Him. And so am I. But now I've been blessed by a salvation that I didn't deserve, that I didn't earn. Work your whole life. Try to be good from the day you're born. And when you're 80 years old, you'll die and go to hell without the cross. You need Jesus, and only because of what Jesus gave you do you offer anything good to this world. That's the cold, hard facts of the gospel. Now that God has blessed you, you're here to bless others. That's the other part of the gospel. That's the good news. Because of what Christ did for us, now we have something to offer the world. We offer them Jesus. Third thing we see, obeying God may bring opposition. In Acts 16, verse 16, we see a slave girl. This is another interesting thing. This slave girl, she was controlled by a demonic spirit. Every day when they would walk by, Paul and Silas, this lady would start, "Hey, there goes the great bondservants of the high God." And this went on day after day. "Hey, there goes the great servants of the high God." I don't know why, but this began to bother Paul. It kind of like, yeah, I've served the high guy. It kind of make you feel good, you think. But Paul became annoyed by her constant introductions. Maybe it's just he didn't like the devil introducing, you know, God's servants. For whatever reason. So he cast the demons out. Man, a miracle took place. You think everybody'd be happy. Guess who wasn't happy? The people making money off this demon-possessed girl. The gravy train just left the station. And they're mad. So we see they go, and they get Paul in trouble. You know, it brought them pain, brought them suffering. They took them to the authorities. Look at verse 22 and 23. They were stripped and beaten, thrown into prison for the good deed. If there was ever a time for a pity party, I'm thinking break out the hats right now, because a pity party should have broken out right there. What did they do to deserve this painful beating? The only thing they did was they obeyed God. Sometimes obeying God brings opposition. Welcome to the gospel story. Not everyone is excited about serving God. Not everybody is excited about being part of what God is doing. You know, even the church sometimes, in Revelation, we see Jesus address the church at Ephesus. And he tells them, man, you're still doing all these good things, but you've left your first love. You can go through the motions. You can sit in a pew. But you can be separated and distant as well. Your heart can be somewhere else. The most damage done to the church these days is not done by pagans, it's done by church members. Failure to pray, failure to serve, criticism of brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, Judas was in the inner 12. When God calls us to Macedonia, listen, not everybody's going to be excited. When God gives you a vision to serve Him, not everybody's going to be excited. Some might look at this, you know, this week, like Martha said, and say, hey, did all those people need help? You know, probably not. But they'll have to be the answer. They'll have to be the ones to answer for that. All I know is this. God called us as a church. God called all Christians to help the hurting. And there was a parking lot full of hurting people, and we got involved and helped. We did what we were called to do. If somebody was taking advantage of that, they'll answer for that, not us. One final thing we learn is when we obey God, God will turn our sorrow into singing. Look at verses 25 through 34. It tells us Paul and Silas, they were thrown in jail. They were thrown in the tank. And you know what they did? They began to complain. And they began to go, woe is me. We did all these things for God. And now we're being, you know, treated poorly. They began to question God. Is that what it says? No, it says they threw him into jail and they began to praise God. They began to sing hymns. They began to rejoice. Paul and Silas found a song in their hearts that resulted in their deliverance. You know what God did? God took their pain and turned it into praise because they trusted Him. Life really is an issue of trust. Do we trust God to help us in the storms of life? Do you trust God to help you in the storms of life? Someone may have the opportunity to hear the gospel because you're going through the storms of life. Because you're willing to obey no matter what God asks you to do. We sing an old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. I think there's a lot of truth in that song. The greatest blessings of life come as a result of your obedience. What is God saying to you? What do you need to do to be obedient to Him? Maybe you're here today, and to be obedient to Him, you need to trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe to be obedient to Him, you need to join this church. Maybe to be obedient to Him, you need to give a situation in your life into His hands because you've been trying to carry it to yourself. It's weighing you down. You're worried. You're tired. You can't seem to get any peace because you're trying to take care of everything. At some point in our life, We need to become like Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Speak, for your servant is listening. What is God saying to you? And will you say, "Speak, for your servant is listening"? You need Christ today. If you need to join the church today, would you come as we sing? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are a God who rewards obedience. Lord, sometimes we don't know where obedience takes us. I know years ago I had no idea that obedience would bring me to become a pastor. I had no idea obedience would bring me to Texas. God, I had none of the clue at that time, but just by saying yes, Lord, it started a process. And Lord, there may be some people here today who need to say yes to your plan for their life. We don't know where, but God, we know it's a good plan, a better plan than we can make of our own. Lord, I pray that we would trust you enough to say yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.